course, we had that message last week that the Holy Ghost gave to me on Wednesday night of the Reverend Greer service. And it's centered around what? Protecting the Word, doing something with the Word. That the enemy wants to get the Word out of your life. Why? The Word is your help. The Word is your answer. The Word is what changes your life. And so, as I was ministering, I can't remember exactly when it came, I knew that what the next series would be, which would be centered around the Word of God and what the Word can do and what people need to do with the Word in their life. And so let's go ahead and pray before we get into some things. Father, we're so grateful, so thankful for all that you've done, for all that you've given, for all that you've provided for us. Now, Lord, we are here to hear from heaven. Lord, we need you. Father, we don't just play church. We're not here to go through some mundane exercise, some repetitive exercise that clears our conscience because we came to church. No. If we came, we might as well walk out of here changed and bettered. And Lord, the only way that's going to happen is if you say what you need said. Father, we're not here for man's plans, man's ideas, man's opinions, man's philosophies, or man's theories. We're here for the precious, life-changing Word of God. So, Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of Spirit and power. And Father, bullseyes will be hit in people's hearts. It'll be exactly what they need to hear for where they are in life. And Father, it's always meant to bring us up higher, to bring us into more, to bring us into better. So Father, as we minister this morning, we thank you for boldness. We thank you for utterance. And Father, I thank you that your will be done in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, John chapter 15 in verse 7 says this: if you abide in me, and my words, what's the words? The Word of God. And my words abide in you, look what the result will be. You will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. How? If his words abide in you. He said in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. God is blessed when this happens. God is magnified when this happens. God looks good when this happens. That you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. God says that his will for you to be glorified, and there's lots of purposes there. God wants you to be glorified because, or God wants you to bear fruit and him be glorified because he's your Father. Amen. And he loves you and he wants you blessed. Much fruit is, we're going to look at what the much fruit here is in a second. It's better for unbelievers when we bear much fruit because it points them to the living God that can change their life. And it will do you good to bear much fruit because we don't want to be barren. We want to bear fruit, praise God. And you'll see what that is here in a second. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, that's a little blind to us in the King James. Kim Lai, if you would pull that up in the Amplified. Now, remember, he says, I want you to bear fruit. He says, for we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. You are God's garden, husbandry. This is what the husbandry is talking about. God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building. Well, in John 15, he said, I want you to bear fruit. Well, what are things that are fruit-producing or harvest-producing things? Fields are fruit-producing things. Trees are fruit-producing things. Vineyards are fruit-producing things, right? Garden are fruit and vegetable and harvest-producing things. Well, he says, I want you to produce much fruit. How's that happen? Well, God says, you are that garden. You are that field. You are that vineyard. Meant to produce much fruit. Now, what is the much fruit he's talking about? Well, go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. So we're talking about bearing much fruit. That God likens you to a plot of land, doesn't he? And that's what we're going to look at today, the parable of the sower, which talks about different grounds. And of course, Pastor Mike will use his old joke that you are a dirt bag. You are a piece of dirt. That's what the Bible says. And so don't be mad at me, be mad at him. But 2 Peter, we're going to look at that. Why? Because Just like a plot of land, you know, I drive by, and as summer gets going, you start to see the fields, you know, they're out there, they're all full of dirt. Then you start to see things sprouting up out of those fields, and some become soybeans, some become grain, some become corn and different things in people's gardens start springing up. Well, you're a garden, you're a field, you're a vineyard. God wants things to produce in your life. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." How many of you know that's fruit? That's good fruit. Grace and peace. How many of you would like grace? Grace is God's, the acronym for that, that always has helped me for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. What is grace? God's power, God's favor, God's blessing, God's provision, God's healing, God's protection towards your life, God's revelation, God's wisdom towards your life. Well, peace, we know what peace is. Peace is wonderful. That's what we want. And the Bible says grace and peace be multiplied. Well, that's fruit. Well, how is grace and peace going to be multiplied? It says right here, unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, what is the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is the Word. The only way that grace and peace can be multiplied unto you is through the channel or the avenue of God's Word. Yes. Amen. Now go with me to verse 3, where he's going to even get broader on this fruit that he wants you to bear in your life. It says, according as his divine power, hath. Notice that word hath. Now I was preaching a different sermon last night, but this word hath came out. So I'm going to give you all the same lesson I gave them, or give you all the same quiz I gave them. Now, they passed in Allegheny. Don't be the church that doesn't pass the test. But the word hath. Now, don't shout this out until you know, because we've had people before shout the wrong thing, and then you're just going to embarrass yourself. Now, I'm no English major, but the word hath, is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? Now, I'm going to count to three. On the count of one, two, three, on four, you're going to tell me. Hath is past, present, or future. One, two, three.
Yes.
You got it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You passed. So this is something that's already happened. Well, what is it? He hath already given unto us all things. Everybody say all things. Now, what are the all things? I love that he points this out because a lot of religious people and religious devils want you to think that the all things are just spiritual. That God is only interested in your spiritual life. Well, I got news for you. As a daddy, I'm interested in their spiritual life first and foremost, getting born again, doing the things of God, following God. But I'm also interested in them having a nice wardrobe and adequate shoes and adequate clothing and adequate housing and adequate provision in their life. I care about not only the spiritual in their lives, I care about the natural in their lives as well. And God is not a lesser father than I am. So he says he's already given us all things that pertain unto life. Now, in case anybody's concerned and think he must be talking about your spiritual life, he goes on and says, and godliness. What's the godliness part? Your spiritual life. He said that God's already provided everything that you would need for this life. What's that mean? Your mortgage payment? What's that mean? The house you live in, the vehicles you live in, the job that you need, the provision that you need, the supply that you need, the health that you need, the joy that you need, the favor that you need, and the protection that you need. All things that pertain to life. Every area of your life. There's not one area of my life, my kids' lives, I look at Caleb and Abby and I think, you know what? I want this part blessed, but I'd be okay if this part suffered. Every part of their natural life. I want their mind blessed. I want their emotions blessed. I want them protected. I want them safe. I want them healed. I want them provided for. Every area of life. Well, God said, I've already provided unto you all things that pertain to life, that's the natural, and godliness, which is the spiritual. Now, what is that talking about? That's the fruit that God wants you to bear. Because a lot of people would read that and they would say, if God's already provided it, where's my healing? Where's my provision? Where's my prosperity? Where's this favor you're talking about? Well, those things, how many of you know, as I drive by the fields without the corn up, and before they sow the seed and everything. How many of you know everything that is needed to provide a field full of corn is already on the earth? Everything that's meant to fulfill your garden and make your garden lush with whatever you're planting, it's already here. But just because it's already here doesn't mean that it's going to produce the corn or the fruit or the vegetables you want. There is a process or a part to play. It's the same thing. Grace and peace, didn't, even though God wants that for you and it's provided for you, it doesn't get manifested or brought forth into good fruit until a process happens. Same thing with all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know what the life and godliness are? Those are the bearing much fruit. Well, it tells us here again how that's going to happen. How life and godliness? Through. Through the knowledge of Him. What's the knowledge of Him? I already told you what the knowledge of Him is. The Word. Amen. We're going to look at a series called The Parable of the Sower. We've done it many times around here, but it's one of the ones that's so important to preach because the Word is everything in your life. That's why we preached such a sobering message last week, because the Holy Ghost put it on my heart that the devil and just circumstances, different things, are trying to rob the Word out of people's life, and you can't let the Word get out of your life. You've got to protect the Word. You got to protect your feeding. You got to protect the Word being sown into your life. Why? Take away the Word, you take away the growth. Why? Grace and peace. All things that pertain to life and godliness, that includes the spiritual things you need, the health that you need, the provision that you need, all the natural things, they cannot manifest or come forth without the Word. Amen. Well, go with me real quick to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. You say it can't come forth without the Word. Why can't it come forth without the Word? Well, I'm going to show you here. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. How many of you know with corn seed and a garden, you need ground. You need land, right? Well, you're going to find out you're the garden. You already saw that. You're the garden. You're the field. You're the vineyard. But it doesn't matter that you just have land. There's got to be seed that falls into the ground. And the seed's got to be treated right. It's got to go in the right ground, and the right things have to be done. And when that process takes place, what happens? Corn comes up. Watermelon and fruit and vegetables, all these things come out. Praise God. Well, I want grace and peace, and I want all things. Okay, well, we've got to go through the process. A farmer doesn't just walk out to his field and say, I got a ground. I want corn. I want corn. You got to do something, farmer. Right. Amen. And if you don't do something, farmer, it won't produce. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. And so look what it says in Mark 4 and verse 14. The sower soweth the Word. What's he liking the Word to? Seed. Yeah. Amen. Do you see that there? He already said, you're a garden, you're a field, you're a vineyard. A farmer that has a nice plot of land and it's all cultivated right, they have to get production to come out. They can't do it without seed. Amen? You have to have seed hitting the ground and the process to happen for it to come out of the ground. Amen? Well, the Bible says the sower sows the Word. Now let's read through this. What am I trying to do in this series? Get you to bear maximum fruit in your lives. I don't want you to be the apple tree that doesn't produce apples. I don't want you to be the field that is barren and dry and dead and doesn't produce anything. I want you to be lush with the things of God. Lush with peace. Amen. Flourishing in grace. Healing the mark of your life. Victory, answers, favor, all these things. Your kids serving God, doing the things of God. That's called fruit. Amen. It can't happen or multiply. See, just like all the stuff's here for your garden, all the stuff's here for the corn, God's already provided these things. What's it mean? They're already here available to you. But they got to now be cultivated to produce. Praise God. The sower sows the Word, and these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. Now this is where Pastor Mike gets the whole joke that you're a piece of dirt. Because the Bible tells you you are. Spiritual dirt, that is, you know. And these are they by the wayside. So it's going to mention here, I'm going to give you a little preview. It's going to mention four different types of ground. Four different types of ground that people are as Christians. Because remember, you are a field. The Bible said you are. You are a garden. God said you are. You are a vineyard. But how many of you know not every vineyard produces grapes? How many of you know not every garden is perfect and lush and grows everything at once? Not every field does good. There's a process. And if that process isn't gone down, or that road gone down, it won't produce what it's supposed to. So it says, these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their heart. What do we say? Satan always tries to get the Word out of your life. Amen. I'm not going to preach too much on that right now. We might go back to it a little bit, but that's what we were talking about on Sunday, and that's what we talked about this Wednesday. The devil will do anything he can, put any thought in your head, use any person he can, use any circumstance, kick up any dust in your life, any situation, any season of life to get you to draw back from the Word. Why? You're going to see in these portions of Scriptures that the only way you can produce grace and peace in all things and bear fruit in your life, it can't be done apart from this being sown onto you. It can't happen. Amen. And so that's why, another reason the devil wants to take this away. He can take the Word, he can take the fruit. Why, the Word's the seed. I dare you to go out in your garden and confess over that thing to grow, 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 and not plant a seed. I don't care how much faith you think you have, there's a process. You can't violate that process. I don't care how much you sit at home and don't come to church and don't obey what God has said about having the Word sown to you and having a shepherd. And we'll look at some of those things. That's what we talked about on Wednesday night, protecting that relationship with your shepherd. Amen? Don't be offended at your shepherd. Don't let anything get in there. Hallelujah. The devil wants to pull you away from your shepherd. Why? Shepherd's the one sowing. Amen. You can sit there at home and say, I don't need church, and I don't need my pastor, and I don't need the Word. I have me, my Bible, and Jesus, and it's... Things are going to produce. You're like the farmer going out to the field and saying, no seed being sown. Grow! Grow in Jesus' name. Oh, it's going to grow. It ain't going to grow. You're going to struggle. I don't take my word for it. Let's go to the Word. But he says, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these, so that's one ground, the wayside. And these, another ground here, which are sown on stony ground. So we have the wayside and the stony ground, who when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and they endure but for a time. But afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And we're going to look at each one of these as we go on in this series. So there's the wayside, there's the stony ground, and now he says there are these who are sown among thorns. So we got the wayside, the stony, and the thorny. Such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, or choke the seed. Make the seed what? Not powerful, not potent. Make the seed not work anymore. It says that's the thorny ground. And it says, and it becomes unfruitful. Wow. And these are they which are sown on good ground. So we have the wayside, we have the stony, we have the thorny ground, three grounds, three plots of land, but now we have a fourth plot of land that the Bible talks about. That is the good ground. They hear the word, or they get the seed sown on them, and they receive it, they do the right thing with it, and they bring forth fruit. What fruit? Grace and peace. All things pertaining to life and godliness. See, if God has already provided all things that pertain to life and godliness, which would include your supply, include your health, include your favor, and those things are not, you're not seeing those, that's not coming off your tree. It's just the process hasn't been done right, because you're going to see the process always works. Amen. It always works. If you'll work it, Brother Hagin said it this way, if you'll work the word will work for you. People that say the word's not working for them, you're not working the word right. Amen. Sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting have been happening since the beginning of time. It's a process that is a fail-safe. It works if you'll do the process right. All the time. Amen. It's the same with the Word of God. And it says here that they receive it, they bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. Well, I want you to be the 100-fold fruit people that get maximum potential or maximum harvest on everything God has for you. Full healing, full provision, full peace, your children serving God, full favor, full everything. That's what I want for you. Amen? So we're going to look at some principles here this morning to lay the groundwork for this series. I'm going to show you some points that bring out some different things of this. Number one, are you ready? If you're a note taker, I got 4 points for you. Talking about the parable of the sower. What do we try to do? Bear as much fruit as possible. Amen. Number one, if you're a note taker, is the word, which is the seed. The word is blessed. The seed is blessed. Okay? You have to understand that, and I'll explain that why in a second. Go to 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. What did I just get done saying? If you'll work the word will work for you. You have to understand something. The devil wants to tell you this. I have news for you, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is never on God's end. It's never on God's end. The problem is never on the Word's end. Amen. It says, being born again. What does that mean? Our lives went from darkness, eternal damnation, to light and eternal salvation. How? Being born again, not of a corruptible or an imperfect or a bad seed, but of incorruptible, perfect, blessed seed by the Word of God. How were you born again? The Word. This Word that you got in your life. Now here's what's interesting. I brought this point out last night about the Word being sown onto somebody's life. This is called the incorruptible Word of God, or the seed of God, and it has the potential to translate someone from barren and dark to light and fruit. And I mentioned how this book sits on Walmart shelves every single day, and thousands upon thousands of people walk by this on the shelf. It's on the shelf, that's the shelf. And an unsaved person who's eternity is on its way to hell. They're on their way to hell. They've not received Jesus. They walk by that thing that the Bible says is incorruptible, has the power to save them, and they walk by it, and guess what? They remain unsaved. Come on. And they walk by it, and they remain unsaved. It doesn't matter that the seed is there. Just like I said, everything that you need for your garden, for your field, for your vineyard, it's already on the earth, but there's a process. And the process of being born again isn't the fact that there was just a seed. The seed had to be sown onto you, and then it produced something. When was the seed sown onto you? Whenever you heard that Jesus died and rose again, there was a man named Jesus. He died and rose again. And if you'll believe and confess in Him, you'll be saved. When you had that word sown on you, you received that word, you did the right thing with it, you believed and you received and you confessed, and guess what? You were translated from darkness to light. What happened? Fruit was brought forth in your life. Why? The word is incorruptible. If the word has the power to save and to change your life, if the word has the power to take you from darkness into light, don't you think the word could heal your body? See, the greatest miracle ever is not healing. It's the miracle of salvation. That's a greater miracle. That's a greater blessing than healing. Amen. Him meeting your needs compared to salvation, small potatoes. Yeah. But this seed was able to do the big potatoes. It can take care of the small potatoes. Amen. Why? It's incorruptible. Go with me real quick to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This will help you in realizing why I cannot let the word out of my life. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I gotta say this because it's on my heart. It's utterance coming from the Holy Ghost, and people need to get this ingrained. Not all churches are created equal. That is not Pastor Mike saying Family Church is the best. I'm just saying all churches are not created equal. Why? The word's not being sown in a lot of churches. How do I know? I came from them, she came from them, and a lot of you have told me that you came from them. I've watched them online. I've listened to them online. And I know they gather. They have the appearance. They have the buildings. They have the worship. They have the people. They might even have the heart of loving the Lord. And they might even be born again. They might even be saved and go into heaven. But the Word, they don't preach on divine healing. They don't preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't preach on the laying on of hands. They don't preach on praying in tongues. They don't preach on holiness. They don't preach on tithing. It's a get-together service, kind of like a club, and have a little lecture, and let's all feel good, and let's go home. No conviction, no change. Come as you are. But the problem is, most churches that are come as you are, they leave as they came. It's just the truth. That's not me belittling anyone. You never hear me mention specific churches or specific ministries. I'd never do that. And you'll never hear me exalt this one above another, but I know what this one will do is we will sow the word here. We will sow the word here. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God. Well, what's the word? The word's the seed that enabled you to get born again. It's the same seed that's going to enable you to walk in healing, favor and prosperity and blessing, bearing much fruit. For the word of God is quick. That means alive. And it's powerful. We already saw in 1 Peter that it's incorruptible. It's perfect. Abby, pay attention. We see that the word of God is quick, powerful. It's sharper, you see that, than any two-edged sword. It's better than anything that there is on the earth. There's no natural thing that's better than the Word of God. It's alive and it's powerful. Amen? And it's piercing to even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So this is what I want you to see. The Bible says the sower sows the Word. The sower sows the Word. Well, that seed falls on four types of ground. Remember? Wayside, stony, thorny, good. It falls on four types of ground. So that seed, you need to understand, when that seed goes out and falls on the wayside, falls on the stony, falls on the thorny ground, and falls on the good ground, we saw in the Word that only one of the grounds produced any fruit. Three of the grounds didn't produce any fruit. Now we have a little bit of a clue here. It wasn't the seed's fault. Why? The seed is perfect. The seed is incorruptible. The seed is alive. The seed is powerful. Amen? Now go with me. This is number two. Number one, the seed is blessed. Number two, are you ready to take notes for the note taker? It says, you are the ground. You determine the growth. The seed doesn't determine the growth. You are the ground, and you determine the growth. The seed doesn't determine the growth. Let's say you drove by a farm and they had some corn. They said corn for sale. And you went and you bought some corn. You went home and you made it, however you make it, roast it, boil it, whatever you do. And you ate that corn and you said, my goodness, that is the juiciest. That is the sweetest. That is the best corn I've ever had in my life. I've never had anything like that. And so you went back to the farmer. You said, wow, that was some amazing corn that you have there. Would you mind telling me what kind of seed you use? And they said, no, this is what we have. In fact, here, I'll give you a packet of that seed. So now you have that seed and that packet that's got the potential or the ability to produce the corn that you just ate and loved. Well, if you walk out, how many of you know, for that to grow, for that corn, for that seed to turn into corn, it's got to fall on ground. If you walk out into the parking lot with that great seed and scatter it in between the yellow lines, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. But what, it must have been something wrong with the seed. No, nothing wrong with the seed. The seed's perfect. The ground's got a problem. And the Bible tells us here that you are the ground. You are the piece of dirt. Remember, you're God's garden, you're God's field, you're God's vineyard. You determine how much fruit you bear, not the seed. The seed has the potential in it to produce every bit of what? Peace and grace, and all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what the seed, and the seed's proved itself in the fact that it was able to translate us from darkness and death to life and joy and being saved. That's what the seed did for you. But if you take that wonderful corn seed and we tell, okay, well, it didn't work out there. This is ground. No matter how good the seed, it's not going to grow. The ground has to be good for there to be production. Well, if God said He provided all this stuff and God said it's already been mine and grace and peace is supposed to be mine, where is it? Maybe you're not good ground. Because good ground that will get watered by the seed of the Word will produce fruit. Go with me to Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Hallelujah. By the end of this service, man, we're going to have fruit coming out our ears. Amen. And I don't mean the kind of... You ever had I'm sorry, I must ask you this question, but it's in my head, I got to know now. Have you ever like leaned sideways and like a ball of wax fell out your ear? Am I the only person that's ever happened to? Will somebody raise their hand if that's... Thank you. Doesn't it kind of feel neat when it happens? I mean, it's kind of... It tickles a little bit, you know? I just wondered, but that's not what we want coming out your ears. We want fruit coming out your ears. But yeah, you're welcome. Luke chapter 8... In verse 18, look what Jesus said. Take heed. When He says the sower sows the Word, what's happening? The Word's going forth, falling on the ground, but how is it falling on the ground? It's falling on your ears. These are your faith gates. These are the entrance way. And Jesus in one place said, take heed what you hear. Now He says in verse 18, take heed how you hear. One translation says, pay attention to how you listen and what you do with that. He says, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, shall be given. Whoever has not, from him shall be taken that which he seems to even have. What's he saying? When the word falls on you, you better take heed how you treat that and what you do with that seed. Why? Because we see in the parable of the sower, three types of ground that it fell on did the wrong thing with that incorruptible seed that had the potential to produce all the fruit that you need in your life. But they don't do the right thing with it. So you are the ground. Number one, the word, the seed is blessed. Number two, you are the ground. You determine the growth, not the seed. How are you going to determine the growth? You're going to take heed how you listen, what you do with it. Number three, are you ready? It's the word or the seed that causes growth. You say, that seems obvious what we're talking about, but this is what I want you to know. Take away the word, you take away the seed, you take away the growth. You can't have growth or fruit production without the seed being sown unto you. Hallelujah. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to show you that the word causes growth. Why does the devil want to get the word out of your life? Because he wants to get the growth out of your life. Can I just make a statement? I'm going to anyways, whether you agree with it or not, but I'm going to make a statement that is bragging on the local church in a Bible teaching church, not bragging on Pastor Mike. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I don't give Caleb a reward for not thumping his sister. He's not supposed to thump his sister, right? I'm a pastor, I'm supposed to preach the word. I know that that stands out in the day and age we live in because a lot of people don't. But I'm just doing what I'm doing, so I'm not magnifying me, I'm magnifying what the local church's role is and the blessing of the local church. Most everybody that I talk to that have come from a place that wasn't preaching the word and is a place now, the reason you know now what you know is not because of your private time with Jesus alone in your bedroom. You know what you know because it came from this place and was sown onto your life. Now that's not belittling private study. Don't misunderstand me. And that doesn't belittle you studying to show yourself approved and learning the word and that you can learn things on your own. I'm saying the majority of people with the majority of stuff you are now walking in the revelation of divine healing, of faith, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of confession, of holies, all these things came because somebody sowed it onto you. Would you agree with that? Amen. Again, I'm not saying you can't learn stuff on your own with Jesus. You can. Absolutely you can. And I'm not saying you can't grow on your own. But you can't take away the sowing. And that's the number one thing the devil wants to get out of people's life, is the word sown into their life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul says, "And brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but only as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for up until now you were not able to bear it. Neither now are you able, for you are yet carnal." But my point is, Paul's saying this. To get you to grow, he says, the way I'm going to get you to grow, when he says, I fed you with milk and not meat, he wants to feed him with the meat of the word. He's not talking about natural milk in a T-bone. He's talking about the milk of the word, the meat of the word. What's he saying? I want you to grow from carnal to spiritual. The only way I can get you from carnal or to spiritual, and that's where we want to be, that's all spiritual things. Remember, he said, I give you life and godliness. He says, I want to get you from natural or a carnal person to a spiritual person where you'll be more blessed, you'll hear from God, you'll be used by God. He said, the only way I can do that is through the Word of God. It's the only way I can do it is through the Word of God. Notice Paul didn't say, you stay home and do this yourself. He said, no, I've fed you with it. I sowed this to you. Praise God. Go with me over to, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Take away the word, take away the growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. What does he say? As newborn babes. That's talking about being born again. He's talking to a group of people that are just newly born again. How many of you know God doesn't want people to stay babies their whole life? Right? You know, Caleb has more responsibility and we expect more out of Caleb than Abby. Right? And when Caleb was Abby's age, we expected less out of him than we do now, but we expected more out of him when he was 6 than when she was 3. Right. Amen? And when Caleb was 3, we expected more out of him than when he was 1. Yeah. Right? God wants us to grow, not to stay babies spiritually. Right. Why? I hate to tell you, babies are cute, and babies are sweet, and babies are fun, but they're pretty much worthless. Right? I mean, they fulfill joy in us, and we love them, and they're cute, and they're fun to play with and things, but they don't bring much to the table. They're very carnal. They're very selfish. They consume a lot of our time and a lot of our energy. God doesn't want us to be the Christian that's the wah, 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 wah. I know Abby's really going at it, sucking her thumb with booze down here. I'm going to suck that thing right off. I'm telling you, watch it. Everything's going to fall off. God doesn't want the wham-wham Christians who need all the time and all the energy. God wants you to grow from that place to a mature Christian where you're being the parent in the church, outputting, helping, blessing, helping people, serving in the church, being a blessing to the ministry, being a blessing to your pastor. Amen. Don't be worthless. He says, as newborn babes, what's he saying? I need to get you from baby stage to grown-up stage. He says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. What's he say? The only way you can grow is through the word. The word causes growth. Well, the word is the seed. Doesn't matter that there's a ground. Doesn't matter if there's sunshine. Doesn't matter that there's rain. Doesn't matter that a farmer has the equipment. If the farmer doesn't have the seed, the whole thing is shot.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Take away the word, take away the growth. So number one, the word, the seed is blessed. Number two, you are the ground. You determine the growth, not the seed. Number three, it's the word that causes growth. Take away the word, you take away the growth. Now, number four, go back to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Says, the sower sows the word. We've read that. We know it falls onto four types of ground, right? The wayside, the stony, the thorny, and the good ground. Only one out of four, or 75%, or 25%, got anything. 75%, or three out of four, didn't receive anything. Say, right? Now here we go. Are you ready? This is a heavy statement, but it's true. And I'm here to testify it's the truth. The majority of people, through what Jesus taught, are not good ground. The majority of people will not produce in their life what God has intended for them to produce. Jesus was the sower of the word, and he made the statement. Why did he make that statement? He experienced it. He saw it happen. He sowed the word, and guess what he saw? He said, man, you know what? I've come to see in the statistics that I've come up with and the preaching and the things that I've seen in my 3.5 years and what the Holy Ghost has told and what God has told me. And he said, 75% of people don't get anything out of this. They're stony ground, they're thorny ground, and they're wayside ground. In fact, only 1/4 of the people actually get anything. And even within the 1/4, there's different categories of how much they get. Some get 30, some get 60, some get 100-fold. Now that should strike you as alarming, because every one of the grounds, the wayside, the stony, and the thorny ground, had the incorruptible seed sown into their life. The most potent, powerful, fruit-producing potential seed fell on their life, and only one out of four people that hear it will produce anything from it. The majority of people will not bear fruit. Wow. That's true. Isn't it amazing that they all heard the same word? Oh, I see it. I see it all the time. Some people hear the word on tithing. Okay, seed just fell on you. Are you wayside, stony, thorny, or good ground? And some people immediately say, my God, that's my answer to my finances. I'm going to do that with joy. And they do it, and their life changes, and people testify to me of how things change. And then I have people that tell me over and over again, still not doing it, still not. Wayside, stony, thorny ground, you didn't produce any fruit. Now you can. You determine the ground you are. How? By, remember how you determine the ground you are? Taking heed how you hear it. Do you hear it and it goes in and out, or does it hear it and it stays? You say, okay, I'm going to endeavor to do it. That's how you determine it. I'll preach about the benefits of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And some people will hear that and they'll think, my God, a supernatural prayer language, a chance to edify myself, a chance to have pray out mysteries, a chance to charge myself up. And they'll say, I want that, praise God, good ground. They produce fruit from it and then they benefit from it. And some people say, "I just, this is too weird for me. That tongues business, I don't want anything to do with that. Wayside, stony, and thorny ground." It's the truth. Amen. Some people, you know, will preach on the Bible says, forgive no matter what. You forgive no matter what. It's never okay to be offended. I'll preach on honor. It's supposed to honor. Doesn't matter if you have opinions. Doesn't matter if you have opinions in your home. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have opinions in your home. Doesn't matter if you have opinions at the work. There's an honor. And you'll sell it to people. And some people say, my God, I need to change. I need to be more honorable toward my parents. I need to be more honorable at my workplace. I need to be more honorable person. I need to forgive that person. And they'll say, I want to be right with God. Good ground. Yeah. Well, you don't understand what they did to me, Pastor. I'm not forgiving them. Stony, thorny, and wayside ground. Right there. The word fell out. The same word. I've seen it over and over again in the 9 years that I've pastored. The same word hits the same people. And some people produce fruit and go through this life victoriously. And some people keep going around the same mountain of defeat. It ain't the word's fault. It ain't God's fault. And it ain't the sower's fault. I'm sowing the same word. Amen. What am I trying to get you? If you're bad ground, I'm trying to cultivate you into good ground. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to show you this example proved out in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you about a quick example that I proved it out one time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we don't need to turn there. The Bible says that Jesus appeared to over 500 people after he died and rose again. He showed himself alive to 500 people. Well, remember over there in Acts when he told his disciples and the believers, he said, don't depart from Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. For the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what he was saying. Don't leave Jerusalem. Well, remember in Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost, how many people were in the upper room? There was, the Bible says, 100 or 120 of them, right? 120 in the upper room. 120 people. Well, do you think that Jesus single-handedly picked out his favorite 120 believers and said, I want you to get this blessing? Because remember he said, if you get the blessing of the Holy Ghost, you'll be endued with power. Do you think Jesus wanted all his disciples to be endued with power or just 120 select few? I'm guessing he wanted all of them. Well, the only way they could get it was to be in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. So I think it's safe to say, knowing what we know about Jesus, that he's not a respecter of persons. The word said he doesn't show favoritism. That I'm guessing that everybody he saw, he would say to them, don't leave Jerusalem, you need power. Don't leave Jerusalem, you need power. Don't leave Jerusalem, you need power. The Bible said he appeared to 500 people. There were 120 people in that upper room. You know what that percentage comes out to be? About 1/4. 1/4. 500, 120 show up. I think the exact number is 125. Right about 1/4 people. What happened? Jesus sowed the word onto 500 people. Only 1/4 of them did it. Exactly what he said would happen. Exactly what he said to happen. I think of a situation, this isn't the example I wanted to tell, but I'll think of a situation where I'll talk about walking in love. And I'll talk about not backbiting and not putting people down, not saying things. And I'll have people come to me and say, man, Pastor, I needed that, you know, and I got to repent from God. That's good ground, people. You don't have to come up to me, and that doesn't make you good ground coming up and telling me, but that just, it showed me that, wow, you got some word. And then I'll hear some people on that same day walk out of here, belittle people, badmouth people, things come out of your mouth. Stony, thorny, wayside. Same word. The same word fell on them. Glory to God. How is it that some people can leave this place that were blessed here after 2 years and their number one complaint is tithing, and other people that are here say, I can't afford not to tithe. I thank God for tithing. How is that? It's the same word. It's the same word. Well, maybe tithing didn't work for you because you didn't work the word right. Maybe that word of tithing fell on the stony, the thorny, and the wayside ground. But when the word of tithing, when the word of forgiveness, when the word of faith, when the word of giving, when the word of the Holy Ghost falls on the good ground, fruit happens. Amen. So that 1/4 thing, I proved that one time. When I had the youth group at the Jamestown Church, we did a thing where I had preached and I taught them about honor. You see, the world doesn't like honor. People don't like honor. God's a God of honor. God's a God of order. God's a God of honor in a system. God doesn't push these things to the side. And so I told the kids of the youth group, I would be very careful in youth group to always point them to Pastor Tim. I'm not their pastor. Pastor Tim's their pastor. I'm not. There's no such thing as a youth pastor, a worship pastor. No, a pastor is somebody that has sheep. And in a church, there's only one person that has sheep. It's the shepherd. The worship pastor doesn't have sheep. The youth pastor doesn't have sheep. And if the youth pastor is taking the glory and pointing them to themselves, they're doing it wrong. Everything is always pointed to the shepherd. And I always would make sure, Pastor Tim's your pastor. Pastor Tim's your pastor. And so the way to help that and to ingrain that in them, I said, you know what? The Bible talks about being honorable to our pastors. The Bible talks about being honorable to those that sow the Word of God. I said, let's be honorable to Pastor Tim. This is what I want you to do, kids. I said, if you can, if you're allowed to do this, if you have money, you know, get permission from your parents, I encourage you to sow a seed financially into his life. The Bible's very clear about people sowing into ministers' lives that have sown in their life. You'll be blessed for it, and it'll be a sign of honor. Do that for your pastor. So I said to him, I said, if you can't, you're not allowed to do that, you don't have finances, that's fine. Write him a card or give him a note. You can do that. Y'all have pen and paper. Tell him how much you appreciate him. Tell him how much you're thankful that week after week he sows the word into their lives. What was I trying to do? Get him to be honorable. They'll be blessed by being honorable, but also it'll bless their pastor. So I said that over and over and over again to them. And so they all agree, okay, we're going to do that. Well, I waited a few weeks down the road. I gave it ample time, might have been a month or two. And I said, okay, how many of you here were in that message, because there was different kids that night that weren't there that one night, and I said, that heard me talk about doing something for your pastor. 20 hands went up. Exactly 20 hands went up. I said, now bow your heads and close your eyes. I said, nobody's going to look around, and don't lie to the Holy Ghost. I said, no one's looking around, but I want to know, out of the 20 kids that heard that, how many of you did it? You know how many hands went up? Five. 5, 10, 15, 20, 1, 4th. They all heard the same word. They all heard me preach the word. It wasn't my opinions telling them to do this stuff. I gave them scriptures on it. And 1 out of 4. You say, oh, that's just kids. No, it's people that heard the word. Some did it, some didn't. Amen. Amen. So in this series, we're going to look to make sure that we are good ground. And I'm just going to leave you with this today. Number one, are you ready to make sure that you're good ground? You have to make sure that you put yourself in a consistent position of hearing. Of being sold. And I know the devil will tell you, you're just trying to fill the seats and keep people in church. Well, that's true because I know you're blessed that way, but I'm not worried about seat filling. You don't start a church in South Dayton if you're worried about seat filling. You don't. You start a church in a big city if you're looking for the numbers. I'm looking for the quality. Actually, I'm looking to just follow what God said to do and follow Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to there real quick. Let's finish up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to verse 4. For one says, I'm of Paul. The other says, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers, by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Well, what is a minister's number one job? We talked about this on Wednesday night. The number one job of a pastor is to feed the sheep, to sow the word. He said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Well, what's the planting and the watering? It's not talking about a garden out back. Planting and the watering of the word. Notice this. Increase or fruit production is God's will. It only came after first there was planting and watering. Planting and watering. Now remember, who did the planting and watering come from? Paul didn't say, you got increase by planting and watering yourself at home in your bedroom with your Bible and your TV show. No. The ministers that God gave every man sowed the word. The sower sows the word. They hear the word, do the right thing with the word, and they produce increase. What does Pastor Mike do? Well, as a pastor, and we'll see this in a second, we talk about this Wednesday night, the pastor's the number one way you get the word in your life. The Bible tells us the number one way you're going to get the word sown in your life is through your shepherd. Well, I'm not the only one that... I plant and I sow and I water, but how do you know when the Durants come in, they're watering that same seed. They're planting different things. Reverend Greer comes in. He might plant something. He might water something, right? Pastor Nancy comes in. Pastor Webb, all these people that we have in the family churches. You're at home studying the Word. That's watering. That's sowing yourself. You're listening to supplemental tapes and things and online and stuff that are good Word things. That's watering yourself. That's the way increase can happen. But the number one way increase happens is through a minister sowing into your life. Why? Sheep can't feed themselves. Go to John chapter 21 and verse 15. We've looked at these on Wednesday, but we're just reiterating these because sheep get some crazy ideas. Sheep get some crazy ideas. And usually, Actually, I'll say 100% of the time, the sheep that have crazy ideas to leave never will sit down with me and look at the Bible for the reasons they're leaving. Yeah. Never. Why? They're not motivated. We saw on Wednesday night. They're not motivated by the right spirit. And the spirit that's motivating the enemy, I'm not saying they're demon-possessed, but they can be influenced I guess influence is the best way to put it. That spirit from the devil can't stand against the word. The word is the sword. So the last thing that's motivating a person that wants to get up and leave, the way their life looks is to sit down with a shepherd who's going to present the word to them and show them they're dead wrong and they've gone crazy. Oh, no, I'm not doing that. No way, you're not going to get me sitting down. They don't want to hear the word. Why? If we all agree that the word's the incorruptible seed, who cares what I think? Who cares what you think? Let's find out what the word thinks. Amen. But they're motivated by the wrong things. Well, John chapter 21, verse 15, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. We know this went on three times. Notice what Jesus said to him. He said, Simon, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, I do. Jesus then didn't say, make sure you tell my sheep that they can do it all by themselves at home. Without a shepherd feeding their lives. Make sure you tell the sheep to go feed themselves. We know what the Bible says about a sheep that doesn't have a shepherd. Go with me real quick. Matthew 9. I know, we've gone there a lot, but sheep get crazy ideas. Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. So remember, Jesus told Peter, feed the sheep. What's he say? The number one thing your job is, Peter, is to feed. Feed, feed. Feed with what? The word. The word. The word. Sheep can't feed themselves. He would have said so if they could. Now you can study on your own, but you can't feed. Your main course of nutrition with the word cannot come from yourself. Amen? Healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Remember the Greek? The Amplified says he had pity on them because the people that were here in this category that he looked at that had pity on, they fainted and were scattered. And remember what the Amplified says? They were dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless. Not good places to be. Scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless. Just like a sheep that doesn't have a shepherd. Someone sent me a picture one time of a sheep that had gone and wandered off and didn't have a shepherd and was gone for a while and had been found after. The sheep didn't come back looking healthy. The sheep didn't come back looking safe. The sheep didn't come back look like it was flourishing and thriving. It was one of those, what are they called? GIFs, 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 goofs, I don't know. GIFs, you know, those little things that it said talk about sheep without a shepherd. And I read the story about it. The sheep looked terrible. The sheep looked like it had been through some things. The sheep looked like it was struggling. Why? Because a sheep without a shepherd, their life will be scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus didn't say to Peter, make sure people sit at home, make sure people sit at home. No, in fact, he reiterates it here and says, sheep better have a shepherd, a pastor. Why? Because what's the pastor do? He told Peter, feed them. Feed them, feed them, feed them, feed them, feed them. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll close here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. I mean, if we're going to come here, every Sunday and Wednesday, be faithful to get ready for church, come out to church, be on time, and sit here for my preaching for an hour, usually, and hear this, you might as well get something and have it be changed your life. But you have to do something with it. I'm sowing the incorruptible seed every time I'm up here. Every time I'm up here is the opportunity for change. That's why I say every time, today's a life-changing service. Opportunity for life-changing. That's not just word service and just trying to get you, you know, to say things that sound good as a preacher. That's true. Every time the powerful, supernatural, life-changing, incorruptible seed goes forth, it has the opportunity to change your life to produce fruit. Ephesians chapter 4. Well, yeah, that's a good Lord. I never thought that way. Every time a farmer sows a seed, doesn't he expect in every place he sowed a seed something to come up? When I say it's life-changing service, you know what I am? I'm that farmer that's sowing on a new day and I'm expecting this day to produce fruit from this seed. Just like if a farmer has 10 fields and he goes out and sows in that field on one day and goes out the other day, every field he sowed in, every time he put a seed in the ground, he expects something to come up out of it to produce for him. It's the same for a pastor. Every time I preach, it's the opportunity for life-changing things. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll close with this. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. God gave gifts. Oh, if some people only looked at their gift as a gift and not a burden. Oh, it would change the way you talk about your shepherd. Change the way you treat your shepherd. Change the way how you honor or dishonor your shepherd. Well, just know this. That when you are dishonorable to God's gift, you're dishonorable to Him. Yeah. Right. Amen, it's true. Don't shout me down now. Wow, well, what were the gifts? In verse 11, he tells us, and he gave. He's telling us the gifts now. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. What are these gifts? Ministers. What are ministers' jobs? Paul said what the minister's job is to do. Plant, water, right? Plant, water. What's the minister's job? Plant, water, plant, water, plant, water. And so we see here that he gave these ministers. Now remember, we're thankful for the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher, aren't we? We're thankful for that. But what is the one thing that Jesus said, you're scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like sheep without an apostle?
Come on.
Sheep without a prophet?
Come on.
Sheep without an evangelist?
No.
Sheep without a teacher? No. The only one he said that is extremely vital, you cannot live without, is the shepherd. And what are these gifts for? Now, I could say it to the guest ministers, too, that we haven't. Thank God we get the prophet, we get the apostle, we get the evangelist in our churches. We should avail ourselves to those ministries. Why? Verse 12 tells us, these ministers who sow the word are there to perfect the saints. Notice what he didn't say. You can perfect your saints apart from the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist teacher, with the pastor being exalted as the most important in the sheep's life on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year basis. The prophet is not anywhere near as important. And a true biblical prophet will tell you that. A true biblical evangelist will tell you that there's nothing in the sheep's life like a shepherd. And what's my main job and the shepherd's main job, whoever your shepherd is to sow the word on your life. And then you have to do the right thing with the word. Amen. That's what we're going to do every single week in this church. Every single Wednesday, every time I step in Tuesday nights in Allegheny, every time I step in Saturday nights, every time I step Sunday mornings, we're going to sow the word, the incorruptible, perfect word. It's your job to cultivate and make sure you're good ground and take heed how you hear it. And that's what we're going to look at going forward. We're going to look at each ground and we're going to judge ourselves. And if you see, my God, I got characteristics of wayside ground, I'm going to change. I need to cultivate that. You know, if a farmer goes out and says, okay, it's a little rocky over here. We need to dig this up. He takes care of it. If you say, well, I'm a little bit stony ground here. I'm a little bit of the thorny ground here. We just make adjustments. Why? We're trying to put ourselves in line to produce as much fruit as possible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for this series, where we're going, what's ahead for us, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to present, to sow your word, to sow seed into the people, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to grow here this morning. Lord, we know that it's not you, it's not the minister. It's not the fact that they are ground that causes it to grow. It depends on the kind of ground they are. So, Father, I pray that people would get this ingrained in them. Father, the revelation would come, that their eyes would be open, that they need to take stock of their lives over the next few weeks to look at the different types of ground to make sure that they don't fall in that category, because that category is seed choking, it's seed squashing, it's seed digging seed up. It's not the ground that's going to produce. And, Father, I pray that everybody would move off of the 75% ground and move into the 1/4 ground, and then move from 30 to 60-fold, from 60 to 100-fold. And Father, I pray over every single person under the sound of my voice that they would be 100-fold sheep, fruit-producing sheep that are good ground people in Jesus' name. I speak that over this congregation. We are not going to be the 1/4 in this church. We're going to fall into the 1/4 in the body of Christ. We want to all be the 25%ers. We don't want to have a 1/4 percentage within our building. We want to all be the 25%ers and then maybe be the 1/4 that's in the whole body of Christ. So, Father, we thank you. That's an opportunity. It's there for us. If we do the word, it's up to us. So I thank you, Lord. People are going to change. I thank you, people are going to grow. I thank you, things will be different for people going forward. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. If you're here this morning, the best thing that we talked about with the seed is that it's incorruptible, that it saved you. You were born again by that seed. And for those of you that are here, you might not know what that word born again means. It just means to be saved. It means to receive Jesus, to have your spirit reborn, to have the opportunity to go to heaven. Jesus said that you have to receive Him. He is the way to heaven. How do you receive Him? He told us in John 3:16, if you'll believe on Me, you won't perish but have everlasting life. Heaven is a simple destination to get to. You don't have to jump through a million religious hoops. Your good deeds don't have to outweigh your bad. You don't have to be a giver to charity and all these things. No, you just have to believe that Jesus was, that He died and rose again. Confess that with your mouth. Believe that in your heart. And the Bible says you'll be saved. I want to give you that opportunity today to receive Jesus. Church attendance won't get you in. Morality won't get you in. Generosity won't get you in. Jesus will get you in. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If you're here this morning and you can say, Pastor, I do believe in Jesus. I do believe He died and rose again. But I'm not sure I've ever accepted Him or come into a relationship with Him. That's your next step. It's not just the believing in Him that gets you saved. You have to call on His name. You have to let Him in. He's knocking at the door. You know, the devil believes in Jesus. I mean, he believes in Jesus. He's seen Jesus. He saw Him on the cross. He saw Him raised from the dead. He knows He's real. He knows He's true. But the thing that's going to keep the devil out of heaven is he's never going to receive Jesus. Get his sins forgiven. He's never going to do that. The Bible tells us He's never going to do that. So it's not just believing. You've got to receive it. So if you're here this morning, you can say, I do believe in that. And I want to receive it. For once and for all, May 19th, 2019, I want today to be the day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus? If you've never done it before. If you've already done it, you don't need to do it again. Doesn't matter if you had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. He didn't take His salvation away from you. You just repent and tell Him, Lord, I want to get back on the train with You. Anybody want to receive Jesus that's never done it before? Never done it before. If you've already done it, you can put your hand down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank You for Your boldness this morning. Praise God. Glory to God. See, there's sometimes things in my heart that just say, don't move on yet. Don't move on yet. Thank you for raising your hand. I'm proud of you. That was bold. Praise God. Anybody else that's never done it before? Father, we had a hand here this morning. And Lord, I thank You that this is a new beginning for this person. And Lord, not only do You want this person to go to heaven, but You want to be a dad to her. You want to be big in their life, Father. You want to help them. You want to bless them. You want to provide for them. So, Father, I thank You for what this person received here this morning. Now, if you're the person that raised your hand, there's one thing left for you to do. You have to, with your mouth, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you. You're not going to have to say anything on your own in front of the whole church. I won't have you stand up or come forward or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But if you're the person that raised your hand, or if you're listening by live stream and you never raised your hand, or if there's anybody else in here that you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You don't even have to think up the words. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that basically is declaring your belief in Jesus and inviting Him into your heart. Because he's not rude. He doesn't just barge in. He wants to be invited in. So we're going to invite Him into your heart this morning. So I'm going to ask that person that raised their hand, and anybody else that should have, or those listening online that never received Jesus, when I ask you to repeat after me, you repeat this prayer after me. The whole church is going to pray with you. It won't be just your voice. The whole church is going to pray with you, but you mean this with all your heart. Go ahead, if those that raise their hand that should have, along with the whole church, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross and that You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart this morning. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. Now, for that person that raised their hand this morning, congratulations. The Bible says the angels rejoice when somebody receives Jesus. I mean, by God, you set off a party in heaven today. They didn't even know they were going to have a party up there. Now they're partying because of you. And there's one step left. I want to encourage everybody, not only the person that raised their hand, but everybody, your next step after receiving Jesus and making that commitment is to find and go to church. Find a church that teaches the Bible. See if you can be there every single week and be a blessing and hear the Word of God and start doing the Word of God and watch God change everything in your life. He wants to be so good, wants to be so big, so real, so strong to you, and that's the next step. Of course, you don't ever have to step foot in a church, this church again, and you'll still go to heaven. He won't take that away from you. But that abundant life we're talking about, that fruit-producing life, can't happen without a shepherd. And it doesn't have to be here, just somewhere that they teach the word. So we're eating subs today, I know, because I got a private one in my office, a huge sub there. So we're having subs, so it looks good. So let's stand to our feet. Don't forget Wednesday night service at 6:30. Let's lift our voice and praise Him. Just make a declaration that you're going to be good ground, that you endeavor to be good ground. Father, we'll change. We'll do it. We'll make adjustments. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all that You've done, for all that You've given to us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.